שלום, אנחנו לומדים את המאמר.
Hello, we are studying the article, A Speech for the Completion of the Zohar. We are mid-article on the heading, Thus we have thoroughly explained our sage's reply. You can send questions to Cup TV as well as ask questions there. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. So again, in A Speech for the Completion of the Zohar of Bala Sulam, which you can find in our archive, we're in the middle in Thus We Have Thoroughly Explained. Thus we have thoroughly explained our sages' reply to the question, how is it possible to cleave unto him, which they said means cleave unto his qualities? This is true for two reasons. One, spiritual dvikut is not in proximity of place, but in equivalence of form. Two, since the soul was separated from his essence only because of the will to receive, which the Creator has imprinted in it, once he had separated the will to receive from it, it naturally returned to the previous dvikut with his essence. However, all this is in theory. In fact, they have not answered anything with the explanation of cleaving unto his qualities, which means to separate the will to receive imprinted in the nature of creation and arriving at the will to bestow, which is the opposite of its nature.
That, we don't understand what that is, a will to bestow. A will to receive is the entire matter of creation. I understand, that's how I'm built. I see this in all of nature around me. A will to receive. Every atom, every molecule, chemical compound, physical, doesn't matter who or what, everything wants to dominate as much as it can. From the tiniest particle, that is all of the matter of this world. And of course, in the accumulation of matter, when there's already some kind of program of existence, where they have mind, heart, programming, all of this, is whether it's a creature or creatures together, it's all will to receive, a desire to bring themselves to the state that is most beneficial for them. What does that mean, most beneficial? To give as least as possible and to get as most as possible. That's all of nature, entirely, from the smallest to the largest. If so, how can we imagine what a will to bestow is, to give? How can that be? And let's say that it does exist in some kind of, in some galaxy there, over the, across the, around the corner of the universe. How can I reach it? That, I don't understand. I look at the world around me, doesn't seem possible.
And what we explained, that one who is drowning in the river should firmly grip to the rope, and before one engages in Torah and Mitzvot Lishma, in a way that he will not turn back to folly, it is not considered gripping the rope firmly. The question returns, where will one find motivation to wholeheartedly exert solely to bring contentment to one's maker? After all, one cannot make a single movement without any benefit for oneself, as a machine cannot work without fuel. And if there is no self-gratification, but only contentment to one's maker, one will have no fuel with which to work.
No, the Creator doesn't care or does care. I don't care about the Creator or anyone else. I care only of myself, or maybe my relatives, like a mother for her children. But that too is natural. It's included in her nature to care for her baby. But beyond that, there is no such thing that a person can work against his nature. So how does the Torah force us in that direction? How can we agree to that? How can we exert in order to rise above our ego and reach an opposite state? It is against the law the Creator gave.
The answer is that anyone who sufficiently attains his greatness, the bestowal that one bestows upon him is inverted into reception. As it's written in Masechet Kiddushin, with an important person, when the woman gives him money, it is considered reception for her, and she is sanctified.
Meaning, if there is something important in my eyes, how can I check if it's important or not? If I bring him something, let's say he doesn't want to receive, then I'm hurt, I'm insulted. I wanted to do good to him so badly. Let's say I do it from that kind of aspect, not from profit or have some gain later on, but that I truly, from this innocence, from love, I want to give him a gift, and he does not want to receive. What flaw do I then feel? Why doesn't he want to receive? I really want to make him happy. I really want to give him pleasure. And he doesn't want it. He says, no, I don't want it. So, what can it be? Yes, go on, let's see.
I understood that that when a woman says that she gives him money and that by that he's sanctified. That's why I understood, but that I didn't understand. Where a woman gives him money?
Let's say I give you a gift, a really expensive one, a gift that you want so badly, and I got it in this through a special opportunity with vast efforts, and I give it to you, and you say, no, I don't want to receive it. I don't want to receive it. How can it be? If you have a desire and you're not receiving it, what should I think? This person wants to cause me harm. He doesn't want to let me enjoy. He won't enjoy and I won't enjoy.
That's right, of course.
Maybe I can judge you for a scale of merit and say, no, he doesn't want to receive a gift from me because I am enjoying giving the gift to him. He wants me to check that the gift that I'm giving him will truly be in order to bestow. Is it clear why the Creator doesn't show us that he receives?
Of course, but there's something before that you didn't talk about. He talks about dealing with engaging in Torah mitzvot in Lishma. We won't return to folly. It's as if he's disparaging our work. What does that mean?
He's not willing to accept it in order to bestow. He isn't willing to be taken, saved, to bestow, in order to bestow. And in truth, we're constantly holding on to this rope. The rope is in our hands. We're just not holding on to it.
So how do we do that? They always say, like Rabbi Akiva did it. And
that's in order to bestow. If you want this rope to save you from in order to receive to in order to bestow, then you'll feel it's already in your hands and you'll start being pulled out.
So what's all this work? So yes, what is all this work? We're not holding on to the rope at all?
No, you hold on to it with the intention in order to bestow. You can't hold on to it with the intention to receive.
So where do we take fuel for this work? If not that way, and not that way, and not that way, and not that way.
From despairs, from drawing the light that reforms, from the friends, from envy, envying them, And from investing in the lessons and everything else, gradually a person comes closer, becomes more prepared.
He says a person can't make a movement without any self-benefit. What benefit is it? Do you understand what's going on here?
When you reach despair, you reach this point of such despair from the light that reforms. You then begin to see success in the friends enjoying your exertion.
So what about me in this whole thing?
That's what you will get.
How can you withstand all of this?
What do you mean? You'll keep on living within the others. What's the problem?
Imagine to yourself.
That's an even greater ego. You're going to have to calculate that as well.
So imagine yourself. You come here for 10, 20 years every morning. You don't feel like anything's happening. You feel like you're grinding water. You come in here and you come in and nothing comes out of it. It's like, what? What should I connect to?
No problem at all.
What? There's no problem. Of course there's a problem.
No, I'm in that 42 years already, so...
You're simply not despairing.
Of course not. What am I? Stupid? Am I insensitive? No. There is despair and there is calculation, and this despair goes into the calculation.
How long is it going to take till I get spiritual? You were told 2 weeks, and then you were in shock. To us, you're telling the truth. But here, and despite that, people aren't running away.
The fact that I tell you 20 years, you think that's true?
So why don't you tell me the truth now?
The truth is, as soon as you annul your will to receive, will be true.
The truth is, I don't want anything. So what am I doing here?
It says he wants to live, he needs to put himself to death. To put yourself to death.
My will to receive.
Yes. You need to see an opposite world. Okay, where are we?
We're continuing. So it is with the Creator. If one achieves His greatness, there is no greater reception than contentment to one's Maker. This is sufficient fuel to toil and wholeheartedly exert to bring contentment to Him.
The problem is, you don't grasp the Creator in your vessels of reception. If you would reveal Him, if you would discover Him, that there is someone to give to, someone that is accepting our work, then it would be clear. But there is none. Until I don't do it in bestowal, I don't reveal anything. That's the difficulty. That's why we have a group and the light that reforms.
No.
But clearly, as long as one has not sufficiently attained his greatness, one will not regard giving contentment to the Creator as reception enough for one to give one's heart and soul to the Creator. Hence, each time one truly aims only to bring contentment to one's Maker and not to oneself, one will immediately lose the strength to work, as he will be like a machine without fuel.
I recommend to do a simple exercise. Let's say you have some good food in front of you, like hummus. It's Friday today. It's preparing it. Good. Something wonderful. Really, it is. He's an expert. Make the intention that I now take this spoon of hummus in order to bestow. I want the Creator to enjoy. Will you then feel taste in it? No. See, you can already be on a diet. You see, that's good. So every time, do it only in order to bestow. You don't need anything else. You can now open a business. So your intention in order to bestow, it cancels the flavor. So what to do next? Again.
It's clear that if he has yet to attain the greatness of his maker, it's not received, considered as reception in the measure to which his whole heart and soul and might will be for the Creator. Hence, each time one truly aims only to bring contentment to one's maker and not to oneself, one will immediately lose the strength to work, as he will be like a machine without fuel. Because one cannot move any organ without drawing some benefits to oneself. It's even more so with such great labor as giving one's heart and soul as dictated in the Torah. Undoubtedly, one will not be able to do so without drawing some reception of pleasure for oneself.
Meaning, we have no choice. We need to attain the greatness of the Creator. And then, when we'll give it to Him, we'll feel pleasure. Why won't this pleasure be egoistic? What do you think? Why is this permitted?
No.
Go on.
Not no the microphone.
Give him a mic.
Because the focus is on the giving and not on the pleasure. My pleasure is a side effect. My whole idea here is that I want to give to the Creator.
So what? When I give my little kid a present, do I have pleasure from that?
Yes, but that's from nature.
Well, okay, and this is slightly above nature. I didn't feel importance to it, and now I do feel importance, and then I give.
And then I have to return. That's the next degree. That's what you said earlier. That I have something that I received, and then I have to clean myself from that in order to rise to an even higher degree.
Well, there is a partial answer to that, but let's continue anyway. Well, the question is simple. The fact that we attain greatness of the Creator, that gives us the opportunity to bestow upon Him, because I receive pleasure from it. The question is, what for? What do I need pleasure for? In order to bestow to Him, or to bestow to Him in order to receive pleasure? Is that clear? Is someone who doesn't understand? You don't understand? The question is, I have a chance to attain the greatness of the Creator. And I got it. Wow, it's great. Now the question is, what did I attain it for? To give Him pleasure? Otherwise I can't give. My nature won't allow me. Or do I give to Him in order to enjoy the fact that I'm giving someone great? That is the question. Here I need scrutiny. If I need His greatness as a necessity for me to give to Him, and I want to give to Him, but without revealing the greatness I won't give to Him, I can't. Or I discover this greatness of Him, and now I have great pleasure from giving to Him. Right, Zvika? That's why I don't accept gifts from everyone. I'm hinting you. 15 years ago, he brought me a cake from his wife. Since then, more than 15. That's it. Since then, nothing. Questions? Well, come on, let me come.
On the side of the giver, on the side of the creator, there is a certain in the thought of equivalence of form. He wants the child to walk on his own. So he gives him gifts. And the tendency of the child, of the baby, is after he learns how to walk, to take unto himself that it's my might, my force, my strength. And so there's a certain scrutiny there of the giver. How much can I give in such a manner that he will also be independent on one hand, and on the other hand, he will continue to be in a state of wanting to receive? For if he thinks he did it on his own, then his ability to receive from the Great One is blocked. And the scrutiny of the little one is how, of the receiver, of the baby, is how to receive in such a manner that this reception, to shine on this reception in such a way so that the Creator won't have to give me the blows to take me down from this state.
What confusions and just, it's just incorrect, sorry to say that.
Why not correct? If I have a matter...
No, I don't want to hear. Don't confuse everyone, I'm sorry. We'll learn and it'll be understood. Yes.
A question about the example with the hummus. Why does the pleasure disappear when you try to aim it in order to bestow to the Creator?
The pleasure in the hummus disappears when you want to bestow contentment to the Creator, because the Creator is not important in your eyes. If the Creator would be important in your eyes, you would increase the hummus twice the greatness of Him in your eyes.
That bite, the pleasure went away. That reveals to me how unimportant the Creator is to me.
You take this bite and it tastes like cotton wool.
Completely tasteless. And it's a sign that the Creator is not important to me.
No, before that you felt flavor in the hummus. Ah. You're doing the intention, nothing.
Right. What do I do from here onwards? How do I use with what I've discovered?
You found that you're lacking the greatness of the Creator.
Right, and what do I do with that? With that discovery?
Work with it, work on it. Ask the friends, and you'll see it's the same. So then you can say, okay, we felt there is the hummus that is bad. How can we make this hummus good, filled with all the pleasures of the world? We need to attain the greatness of the Creator. That's it. Okay. Yes, Vlad.
A person needs to attain the greatness of the Creator in order for him to be able to receive from Him or to bring him contentment.
Yes, if a person can.
Yes, but that can only be done by the greatness of the Creator. Why specifically the greatness of the Creator gives him the ability to receive from him what he needs for bringing him contentment and not for himself?
Even in this world it works. If there's someone who's grown and I give to him, then bestowal becomes reception. I enjoy his greatness. When I fulfill his greatness, if he is greater than I, being part of the greater one, it's like I'm acquiring his kli.
But his greatness fills me.
It fulfills you, right?
So it turns out that it's nevertheless in order to receive, because I receive from that.
this action, of course, in corporeality, it's egoistic. That's why a bride can give a ring to the groom, not vice versa. It's an egoistic action, but it explains to us how the greatness of a person can give me pleasure.
Yes, but why would the creator doesn't become like I'm not swallowing all his greatness?
That we will leave for the next lesson. Yes.
We wanted to report that tomorrow morning we have a special day. We're going to also have a discussion on the topic of tens, where we're going to summarize all the random ten period. We're going to see as a society what we can improve and change. It was supposed to happen last week. It was postponed. Also, more questions will be sent to everyone for discussion today. And we will also have a discussion about the inner essence of the meals as we're coming close to the holidays, what new degree we want to put between us in that action called a meal. That will also be tomorrow. And we will also have questions about the Moscow Convention tomorrow. All of that tomorrow morning. So we're asking the friends to prepare for that, and we will send it with the questions.
That's it? Okay. Yes, go on.
If I have a friend, and that friend gives everything on the path, all that's valued to him, everything he has, all his forces, and he remains in that state like we describe right now, he has no air to breathe, and he looks at me, how do I'm his friend. How, at that moment, do I make this good, purposeful friend? How do I support him?
Could someone repeat the question?
If I have a friend on the path that gave all his forces and he remains without the spirit of life, how can I help him?
Come to him. Give him the edge of the rope and tell him that you're pulling him. What else can you do if he's lifeless? And what is this rope? What is the spirit of life? How will he hold on to this rope tightly, like we spoke about today? We said it's all above reason, at least in corporeality. The more we advance, it's not a desired phenomenon, but it still happens that way. Many people fall off along the path because they scrutinize that the path is not for them. To go in order to bestow, as they begin to scrutinize that it's above their nature, they don't want, they can't. Better if I shut my eyes. And I'll remain in this life like yesterday. And then I don't care, I'll die, or I won't die, when will I die? I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to exert. And he's not to blame. The environment is to blame that doesn't give him confidence that every person can exert and can gain the next world.
That moment that it happens, I'm the only friend that's standing next to him, and he's beating me because he thinks that I'm not helping him right now because I don't know.
That's already your stories. He's hitting me, he wants me, or I need to do what I need to do. I don't do other calculations. That's it. As much as possible, I'm also not alone. I need to discuss this with the friends. I need to go to a person that falls. Alone, you can't. Here, there needs to be the force of the group. That's it. Okay? Go on. Yes.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends, and World Kli. I have a question here about the text, column 2. Because the soul was not separated from his essence, due to the reason of the will to receive that he imprinted in it, then when he separated the will to receive from it, and it adhered and returned to its previous adhesion in his essence, That describes the process that we are seemingly completely adhered.
We're in constant adherence, but we need to transition from unconscious adhesion to conscious adhesion. We're all the time within the Creator. He is nature, we're in Him. But we need to understand that the point of adhesion now, that I'm activated by Him, tell me, whatever I'll do, whatever I'll, doesn't matter what, it's I'm doing it because He is directing me. He is doing all of that in me. And I want to get rid of that. I want to do His desire myself in examination, in understanding that everything He has, all of the this program of creation, I want to replicate that on me and work as if I am independent. That is considered Israel will return until your Lord.
And that process of separating the will to receive from within the soul, like he writes here by Basulam, that same process.
Yes.
It's like every single moment someone's sitting above each that studies and tries to kind of make that separation within the will to receive.
Well, each one who sits, I don't know, this is the program.
Whoever's on this process.
Right. And by that,
and with that, we'll move to the daily task, which is we're scrutinizing throughout the day what's the difference between redundancies and necessities and for the things in our life. Again, we're scrutinizing in the 10 what's the connection between necessities and abundance and redundancies in faith above reason. The Zohar lesson today at 5:45 to 7, Zohar lesson you can watch with Dov Leitman. Thank you to our TV viewers. Get experience in the wisdom of Kabbalah and the fundamentals. The wisdom of Kabbalah is, we're inviting you to an opening of a course of the fundamentals of the wisdom of Kabbalah in Atanya in Carmiel on Thursday, the 3rd of September. For details, in our site or 1-700-509-209. Thank you and good day. רוצים להרגיש את המקום שנמצא בינינו, מקום של חום וביטחון מאיר לעולמנו, מעל תנועה, מעל מקום, מעל כל הזמנים, מקום שבו כבר לא צריך מילים. בוא ניצח לחבר